Hi, now it's time for another exclusive interview here on First Choice Radio with me, Bob Thomas, and this time it's Matt Goss from Bross. But before we speak to Matt, let's jump back to 1988 and see what the fuss was all about.
When will I be famous?
Very well. Good morning to you, good evening and good afternoon, whatever time it is, I don't know.
Yeah, so you're in Miami, is that right?
I think I am, or it might be Vegas, one of the two.
as bad as that, is it?
Yeah, I'm in Vegas, yeah.
Okay, so okay, what's so been happening in the world of Matt Goss?
I've just been, you know, I'm really proud. The single's been A-listed on 50 radio stations in the UK, and they're getting behind it because they're helping me raise money, and I'm really appreciative of that. And people seem to be loving the song, and which I produced, Babyface produced, which is amazing, and the legendary Babyface, and he's become a dear friend. And instead of releasing it, you know, waiting for this to be over. I just wanted to get it out there and have a beautiful soul track so people can kiss more and and make more babies too, you know. It's a baby it's a baby making record. Yeah, it's a baby making record, yeah.
Okay. So how's Reggie? I've seen quite a few posts of your dog.
Yeah, Reggie's my French bulldog. He's a complete lunatic. He basically eats anything that is valuable that I can't replace, that means a lot to me. And I think the rule of any bulldog owner out there is what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's definitely all worth it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I took him to the vet yesterday and he's got allergies. So, like, I cooked for him last night and he's my quarantine buddy. So, like, yeah, he's eating better than I am right now.
That's why it's good. So, how have you been keeping yourself busy during the lockdown?
I've been really connected to people. You know, I've been going on Instagram Live at 9 p.m. every day.
Right.
And I've been having conversations, you know, with many, many different kinds of people, and, you know, not just Matt Goss or Boss fans. I mean, everybody had been coming on, and we had like 22,000 people come through the other night, and it's been very profound for me. And I feel, frankly, I feel more connected to that right now than music or anything in my life, just to try and help people and talk to people. And so I call 5 or 6 people every live, so every day.
Brilliant. I mean, that's the thing about modern technology now. I mean, 20, 30 years ago, when you guys were really big, I mean, there wasn't that close to the fans, but now fans can actually talk to you and see you. Do you know what I mean?
It's extraordinary. It's an amazing thing. I don't know who I'm going to call. I just press a button, and the reactions are so beautiful when they're like, oh my God. It's like, you know, and I'm in their living rooms, their bedrooms, or meeting their families, or, you know, and it's been really, really fun getting to know their families and their spouses, and just, it's really, really been a connective thing.
Brilliant. I mean, do you find nowadays that your music is connecting to a new generation?
Yeah, I mean, there's a woman yesterday on the live, 16 years old from California, freaking out. And just, you know, just it's, I think, you know, I think the true meaning of success is longevity. And I think, you know, for me, it's not about chart positions, and it's really about connection and about joining the story and joining my family. You know, there's thousands and thousands of people all over the world, and they're immediately welcomed. So it's called the MGA, the Matt Goss Army. It's like, we really are, it's all over the world, and they're very supportive, and it's been fun. It's been an incredible journey so far.
Excellent. I mean, that's the thing about you, and your brother obviously as well. I mean, a lot of times when I talk to people that were big maybe 20, 30 years ago, they're maybe still making music, but they can walk down the street nowadays and people don't recognise them. I mean, for you to use the phrase, the screaming has never really stopped, has it?
No, I mean, it's kind of funny. When I try and say, if my life is the furthest thing from normal, if I go to going to an airport, the last time I was there was a couple of hundred. You know, I'll walk through the street, and my life is pretty much, you know, selfies, hugs, and the conversation. People, you know, come up to me and as if I'm a member of their family, and I think it's such a beautiful place to be. And I guess in some ways, I've been in the press for, you know, every month probably for 30 years to do with something I'm doing, there's no ego there. It's just people come up to me, and
like, even the other day I was in a restaurant, and this gentleman, I must have taken I don't know how many, you know, 50 selfies, and you know, I always find it courageous when people come up. People think it's rude, but I actually think it's courageous when people like want to say hello. It's the least you can do. And this fella just came up to me, and he just let out some tears on my shoulder. He lost his mum, and he just started telling me about it. And I found, I consider that a real privilege, that people feel that they know you. And in some ways we've all grown up together. So, and then, you know, the newer fans, you know, there's an 18-year-old guy in a sunglasses shop, and he was like, I'm a massive fan, loved the movie. And so it's kind of a thing that continues to go with both myself and my brother and my brother's movies, and you know, so it's a very privileged place to be, because people have been treat us so kindly in the UK.
Excellent. Yeah. On the subject of the film, I watched the film. Would you feel happy with how it turned out?
What I feel, sorry.
Were you happy with how the film turned out?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think that it's an incredible film. I think that, you know, the reaction that it had and the way that people responded to it, I was extremely proud of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was, you know, we addressed things that we had never addressed before. You know, the loss of our sister was killed by a drunk driver, and my mother was, you know, obviously passed away way too soon, and we hadn't addressed that.
Sure.
And it was very, very raw. And I think as men, you're conditioned to kind of suppress your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we were doing for the whole film. We were trying to suppress our feelings. And
yeah.
It ended up being, you know, a funny movie, an uplifting movie at the end, and also, you know, heartbreaking at times. But it was raw. When we didn't want it to be a promo piece. We wanted it to be honest.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's why people connected to it so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you did come out, everything came across really well. So, I mean, on the subject of reforming, how did it feel stepping onto the stage at the O2 after all those years?
It's just incredible knowing that you were going to play to 50,000 people, you know, over two nights, and we didn't have a record on the radio at the time, and we didn't. It was just purely, you know. You know, sometimes you get we really haven't had an easy time. The industry has not backed us, and over the years, and we've always had to punch uphill.
Yeah.
And you know, it's nice to actually have the industry, you know, understanding that we genuinely are artists, and but to get on stage with your brother and know that you were doing it on your own terms, and you were not being imprisoned by an industry that decides to or not to support you. And it was all to do with the fans, and the fans always turn up for us, and they have done for many, many years. So it was an incredible feeling to be on, you know, one of the biggest indoor arenas in the world, and just you're in your hometown.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was an incredible feeling with your brother, you know. And
yeah, it must have been very emotional as well.
Yeah, it was just coming up. I mean, me and my brother came through the bottom of the stage. We got shot up through the bottom of the stage, and just before we went up, and we, you know, there's thousands of people waiting to watch the show. And me and my brother were under the show. If you watched the movie, that was real. You know, there was that moment. We were just in our own place at the time, and we looked at each other and was like, you know, it was a very prideful moment to be there with your brother. We've been on a journey, me and Luke, and. You know, we're closer than ever, but it was a beautiful thing knowing that the show was just about to begin, and then bang, you get pushed up through the stage. It's an amazing, amazing feeling.
I can imagine, yeah. So on the subject of fans, what's the most unusual thing a fan has asked you to do?
I don't know about asked me to do, but some of the strangest things, I've had somebody grab my legs from under the bed in a hotel room.
Really?
That was pretty freaky. I mean, to this day, I checked under the bed when I went to a hotel room.
So somebody actually sneaked into your room and hid under your bed?
Yeah, it was just one of those moments. You know how Jim Carrey screams? Like, uh-huh. Yeah, it was me. I was like, my mouth was like, it was just one of those moments that it was like a human-sized spider under the bed. And I literally got up. I didn't look back. I just got up. I had my bodyguard, Johnny, was there at the time. And I said, Johnny, somebody's under the bed. So that you always have a safe room.
Right.
So you get taken out of that room and put into another room.
Uh-huh.
And it was just very, very strange. And I remember one time I was in the Royal Variety performance, and I was coming out the stage door, and this fan was really like, man. I was like, I've got to give you this. It's so important. I was like, okay. So I said, stop the car. This woman's very, very determined. She's like in tears. Like, let me just give it. It was a big gift. I mean, so it was wrapped, and I got it, and I was wearing a nice suit, and I unwrapped the gift, and it was a frozen turkey. I was like,
what?
Yeah, it was a frozen turkey. And I was like, and it was half thawed out, and the base of it was watery, and I was like,
God,
why? I mean, is she trying to fatten me up or something? She doesn't have to worry about that now, because I've obviously my six pack is in the fridge these days. But it was a very, very strange experience.
Did you ever find out the reason?
The next time I saw her, she gave me a steak and kidney fray bentos pie.
Maybe she thinks you do need fattened up a bit.
I know, but it was always like frozen food or tinned goods. It was like the day in the life of not very rock and roll Matt Goss. It was like very strange. And then on the other side of it, you know, I was given a Rolex once by a fan in Japan, like in Tokyo. So you know, in Japan it's different. If you say what you like, they'll actually get it for you. So, you know, just tell people, if you go to Japan, anyone, just, you know, say Ferraris, or, you know, or when you're coming out of a stage door in England, you get a Frey Bentos pie or a half thawed out turkey. It's very diverse.
Brilliant. So on the subject of six packs, I saw you on Celebrity Juice.
Yeah.
So how did that feel?
I assume you're referring to the sock ish.
The guitar playing, thing. Yeah. So was the sock, was that your idea, or was that TV censorship?
No. They asked me to play naked. And the thing is, it was like, I'm actually pretty people know, me and my brother are notoriously private people. And I just thought, you know, because I know Keith and we become good friends. And I was just like, you know what, during these times, if the nation can ever laugh at my expense, then I was determined to say yes to everything. But I thought the sock was a funny touch, because I thought they were like, they didn't believe that I was in fact naked. So to protect my modesty, I chose a sports sock.
Right.
And I also thought it cut down on the dry cleaning bill, so it was good, you know. So no more tuxedo for me. I'm going on stage with socks from now on.
I mean, just seeing Emily Atack's face, that was priceless.
I know, she's fantastic. She's such a good sport as well. I really love a lot of time for her. She's good people.
Uh-huh, yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, so on to the new single, If I Ain't Got You. Do you want to tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I play it every night. I play this song every night in my show in Las Vegas, and it's one of those songs that to me was an immediate classic, and I just felt like, to quote my grandfather,
right,
romance is the key ingredient to life. And and he, you know, I just felt like when I play this song, I always get such an incredible reaction. I always get a standing ovation, and people love it, because I've never heard a fella sing this song.
Right.
And so I was lucky enough to experience this with, you know, Babyface. One second, somebody's calling me.
Okay.
So I was lucky enough, one night Babyface came in and was watching the show, because he also had a show at the Mirage, like myself.
Right.
And he came down and we chatted after. We've been friends for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's one of his favorite songs. And we decided to record it in LA, in Hollywood. And instead of releasing it as a new single, I said, let's just get it out. Let's try and raise money. Let's try and do good with it, and
brilliant,
and show people a good, as I said, a good baby making song, a BMS, and a good soul track that, you know, good for the fellas, good for the ladies. It's a win-win.
It's an absolutely brilliant track.
Thank you, brother. I mean, I'm really proud of the version, and people seem to be enjoying it. So
brilliant. Okay. So what's in the pipeline then for Matt Goss?
I'm constantly doing interviews and press stuff, and also, as I say, my lives. But professionally, I'm really, really proud that we've finally finished all the music for the project Upstairs Downstairs. I don't know if you remember that very, very famous TV show.
Yeah.
We have the rights for the Broadway and West End version.
Oh,
and
brilliant.
So we've my writing partner, Stephen Endelman, we finished that. And there's 44 songs. We're in the middle of now finishing the book, and we have a very, very successful Broadway producer on board.
Excellent.
So hopefully when this is all done, within a year from now, we'll be ready to start looking at theatres and putting this on stage. So I'm really, really proud of it. It's probably the most cerebral and challenging creative project of my life so far. But to create a story, you know, that people loved that show.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing that I'm working on next. And I was meant to have an album out and a Christmas album out and a tour and everything, but we shall see. I will be back on stage, but I want to make sure people are safe.
Of course. What about Bross? Are there going to be any other Bross comebacks?
Yeah, I mean, well, we're not going to do any. There's no more comeback to Bross. We have come back, and we've been around for a long time. And we've made a promise to each other that we'll never break up. So we were actually meant to be going on tour this year. We were looking forward to announce those shows, but we will be touring without question.
Excellent.
And then I'll be touring too. So there's going to be a lot of music. I think a lot of people are looking forward to.
Yeah, I'm sure.
The live side of life coming back, you know, the music.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, thanks very much for talking to us, Matt.
It's been my pleasure. And can I just give my love to you and your listeners, and stay strong, everyone. And thanks. Thanks for making me homesick. I'm coming home soon.
Thanks so much. Now, before you go, we're going to play your new single. So would you like to introduce it for us?
Yeah, I know. I just want to say, these times, you know, lockdown can be challenging. And so hopefully this song will encourage you to kiss more, make love more, and just get more connected. Romance is the key ingredient to life. This is If I Ain't Got You.
Some people live for the fortune. Some people live for the fame. Some people live for the power. Some people live just to play the game. Some people think that the physical things define what's within. I've been there before, and that life's a bore, so full of the superficial. Some people want it all, but I don't want nothing else. Search for the fountain, promises forever young. Some people need 3 dozen roses. That's the only way you'll ever prove you love them. Hand me the world on a silver platter, and what's good would it be with no one to share and no one who truly cares for me? Some people want it all, I don't want nothing at all. Thank you.